dreams of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And share with you this morning, and that is, do you believe God knows what he is doing? Do you believe that God knows what he is doing? Because this is vital if we're to walk with God. Do we really trust and believe that our whole life is in his hands and that he knows exactly what he's doing? Because that is the question. And we're going to look at this morning from Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, which we know very, very well. And it says here that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place with which God received as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And that, of course, is the key to this, not knowing where he was going. But he obeyed that call. And we too, by faith, have and are obeying that call. But we don't know where we're going. That is in this world. Now, the question I raised this morning is that your experience? It's one thing to know this theologically, but it's also another thing to know it experientially. Because if you are knowing this experientially, then you are knowing the miraculous working of God in your life. And that's the key to this. I don't know where I'm going, and if anybody asks me, I haven't a clue, but God knows. And that's really the only answer we can give anyone if we are truly walking by faith. You see, the hardest thing is we are finding it doesn't make any sense. If you are walking with God, then it doesn't make any sense. Outwardly, that is. Our whole walk of faith doesn't make sense. How God works, how he blesses, how he opens and he closes doors, doesn't make any sense. It isn't for us to try and work out. It isn't for us to try and explain it away. Jesus never fell into that trap. He didn't try to explain the miracles. He didn't try to explain why he was in a certain location at that time, or saying what he was saying, or doing what he was doing. He didn't have to explain. And those that are always trying to explain or make excuses, one has to really wonder whether their steps are ordered by the Lord or that they are out of the will of God. Because you don't have to. What you're going to do next, you haven't a clue. What does the future hold for you in this life? You haven't a clue. Other than you walk daily, hourly with God in covenant and in relationship with him. The worry and the anxiety starts to come when you're trying to plan your future, which God has never called us to do. That is why he gives no revelation of the future, other than the fact that we're called as overcomers to walk in this life, and those doors that are to be open will be open in his sovereign time. And it's no good trying to force them, which I know some Christians have tried to do, ending up at the end raising their hands in utter despair and depression. The only future the overcomer has to walk with God is this day by faith. Why am I stressing this? Because this builds confidence in him. This is the best way for us to have that confidence, that trust, that simple childlike relationship that he wants from us. This is the best way in which it's achieved, which goes against the grain, which goes against everything within us. Because when we were born, this world was telling you, you can be your own God. You can plan your own future. You can create your destiny. That is what the world tells us and teaches us. But when God comes along, he destroys all of that thinking, that mindset. And indeed, he's doing it today as we listen to this word. That is why the word that he gives us is tailor-made. It is the right teaching, the right message for the right hour that we need, even though we may have heard it many, many times. The question is, you'll know if you're walking like this, the question is, do you still find yourself worried and anxious? What did Jesus say in Luke 12? Let's remind ourselves again as we read some of this. In Luke 12, verses 22 to 26. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." That's your life in general. What you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. The world is driven by what it consumes. There is such emphasis now on eating. It doesn't matter where you go, whatever town you go to, whatever city you go to, it's completely bombarded with eating places. Programs on television, every day there's something about cooking, about eating, indulgence. And he says here, don't consider any of that or what you put on. This obsession with clothes today, fashion. And Christians also are bound by this. He says, don't be caught up with any of that. Because God knows life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. In other words, the life that we have in Jesus is far, far more important than these everyday mundane things that we find ourselves still worried and caught up in. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? In other words, they don't accumulate. They don't put things in store like we humans do. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? And so it goes on. You know it. You've read it umpteen times. But it's important in the context of what we're talking about today. And we're talking about, do you believe God knows what he is doing? That is the question we're raising today as overcomers. Are you completely confident? Are you persuaded that you know what God is doing? In other words, he has the whole thing under control. You see, it's no good seeking him about the future or next week or even tonight or in a year or 2 years if he tarries. It's no good seeking him like that. And I'll tell you why. Because he remains silent. And this is why you find in the house of God a lot of Christians going to prayer and fasting, seeking God about future things, only to find nothing happens and they become depressed and oppressed. Now, it has its place. We know fasting has its place. Seeking God in prayer has its place. But so often we are seeking for the wrong things. We're wanting to know the future. We're wanting to know what God is going to do next. And you know what? He keeps silent. Because he's trying to teach you, you walk by faith. God called Abraham, as we just looked at in Hebrews 11, and it says, by obedience he walked out, not knowing where he was going to be led. He was willing to surrender to those conditions. I don't think all of us yet in full gospel assembly have really surrendered yet to those conditions. Because if we had, we wouldn't be down and depressed and confused. Because this walk is to deliver us so that we can worship, we can praise, we can walk with God in covenant 24/7. That is what the deeper life is. That is its purpose. But God is going to remain silent and you won't get him to speak. Go out in a complete surrender. That is the way we're to walk, surrendered over to God, so that we don't become upset or surprised what he does or what comes your way. And yet we still become offended. We still become upset. Because we haven't yet surrendered to the walk that he has predestined for us. We still have problems with it. And we question it. And that is why we're answering that this title this morning, do you believe God knows what he is doing? That is the question. See, air and the wind blows where it wills. It just simply blows and moves freely. We know it's there because we can feel it, but it isn't controlled. Birds of the air, they fly and move around wherever the thermals take them, or wherever they find themselves, or whatever tree they go in to rest. There's that freedom. And this is what God is trying to work with us, unfettering us from these worries, these anxieties, this holding on, wanting still to be in control. You see, a lot of us are still filling our lives with busyness. And the reason being is because it hasn't worked out as I thought. And so because it's not working out how I thought, we start to put our mind and attention on other things. Or we find ourselves getting busy, caught up in unnecessary things. Sadly, this has been going on in the assembly with some. And this is why we pray one for another, so that God will keep our lives simple and unfettered in that attitude of worship, waiting on God, which is what he wants for the overcomer, for the bride that's making herself ready, because they are the conditions. That is the only way the bride can make herself ready. She can't if you're caught up in busyness. It just doesn't work. Example, I'm reminded of Peter in John, the Gospel of John. John 13 and verse 37. And here it's in the context of where Jesus predicts where Peter will deny the Lord. But he says here in verse 37, Peter said to him, "Lord, why cannot I now follow you? Now, I will lay down my life for your sake." So he's saying, why can't I do it now? Why can't I follow you? Why is it you have to go to Jerusalem? What is the problem? We notice his reaction in all of this. You see, we never go forth until he has given directions. But Peter's willing to go. He doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's petulant. He's going to go. But we're called to wait. Our walk as overcomers is in the attitude of waiting, not getting busy. Relationships are not cultivated in busyness. A true relationship is cultivated when you give time one for another. This is why marriages are breaking up. This is why so many families are dysfunctional. Kids that are growing up today, dysfunctional, because everybody's busy now. Everybody's busy in their iPhones, on their computers, if they're at home, that is, or just stuck, glued, watching the TV. There is no quality time in family life or with one another. And you can put that over with God. We adopt that same attitude with the Lord. That busyness that breaks that relationship. When we wait on God and we walk with God, God's timing never brings disappointment or oppression. And that is what's so wonderful with walking with God. It never brings that disappointment. See, Peter was petulant. We notice what he's like when he first follows the Lord. But when he denies the Lord and the Lord calls him back on that seashore, notice there is a different person, a different character. His heart has been broken in order that it can be rebuilt and restored. The overcomer too has to learn his or her walk and calling before God. And our calling before God is first and foremost for worship. Worship, praise. You are created in which to glorify God. And your consecration is for his glory, and the outward manifestation of that is worship. Worship glorifies Almighty God. And that is what you and I were created for. And you try and change that, and you get out of the will of God. And you will never understand what it means to become an overcomer before God. The overcomers got to learn this one. You see, as somebody said this, worship is giving God the best he has given you. And that's it in a nutshell. My life, my worship, my consecration is giving back to God the best he has given me. Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourself that living sacrifice upon the altar. You can't do any more than that. But that is your worship, you're giving back to him who gave all for you and me. Simple, really. But on the other side of the coin, it's working that out in our everyday life and living. And we see analogies in the Bible, don't we, of this worship, this offering up. And of course, the first murder in the Bible was all to do with worship, with offering up the best sacrifice. You know the story, Cain and Abel. Cain was jealous over Abel because Abel offered the best. In other words, there was a cost involved. And you see this today spiritually in Christendom. Those who are offering the best sacrifice and those who are not. In other words, the cross, myself, surrendered to God. That is the best sacrificial giving that glorifies God. That is worship. That is what glorifies his name. And you see your Cain and Abel, spiritually speaking, in Christendom. You see Abraham, now walking with God, offers up praise, sacrifice. Genesis 12, verse 8. 12 and verse 8. And it says, he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Builds this altar, this sacrifice, right in the midst of Bethel and Ai. Bethel, which means worship, worship under God, separation unto him, and Ai, the world. Exactly the same with us. And this is why Jesus has left us still in the world. But in this world, we can still look towards heaven, to the promised land, and still offer that true worship. Are you now God's build altar? Are you that altar of sacrifice unto God? That is the question. That is what he built. And that is what God is building through you and I. And this is what is going to make these pillars in the temple of God that will stand and endure in these last days. For God spiritually is building his church. And the church desperately needs those pillars that are resolute, that are stand firm to take the rest of the building and the roof. This is what he's doing. This is the revelation of the deeper life that God has given to us over the years. We're going to go forth until he gives those directions. See, this is why your life and the blessings in your life you offer back to him. That is sacrifice. That is giving. That is what glorifies God. Everything that God gives to you, to me, you offer back to him in offering. That is what he's looking for from overcomers. You see, worship is giving God the best he has given you. Your life and blessings you offer back to him is your love gift you give to him. Have you ever thought that you give your love gift back to God? I don't think many have thought in those realms. And yet that's what it is. And by giving it back to him, this is how the body of Christ grows. This is how the gospel goes out. This is how we become those witnesses. This is how he brings people in. You being that love gift, that offering of yourself back to him. But if you've not received from him, then how can you give it back? And that is the question that can be raised. And you will only know if you are walking by faith daily with the Lord and trusting him. Because your life is miraculous. Your life is a miracle. It cannot be done in human strength. That's always the test. But if your life is full of fear and anxiety, control, working out, manipulation, you name it, control, then you have to ask yourself, do I really walk with the Lord? And that is why we're that love gift. We know a principle of this, don't we, in Exodus 16 about the manna. They were given manna each day according to their family size and were to take just the amount that they needed. And yet Israel sinned in that because in the morning some was left over and it had turned mouldy, bad. In other words, gluttonous, greedy. I want more. Me, self. And this is the problem, isn't it? Self still gets in the way. And that is what God is dealing with. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you present that self, me, on that altar, surrendered once and for all. But have some still not done that, even after all these years? Are they still having problems? This is where honesty comes in. Humility. And you don't have to try and work at any of this because the Holy Spirit, he'll do it. But he's never going to force us. He's never going to move against our will. And that is why we can even surrender the will over to God, so that he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And if you walk with him each day in fellowship, in covenant, you'll find a power begins to work on your behalf. He starts to put those affections within your heart that were not there before. In other words, you give it back to him in order so that he can bless others. And that's why you can be a blessing. You can be a blessing to the body of Christ. You can be a blessing to your family, to those at work, or those you meet. Because it just flows out of you like those rivers of living water. God gives us plenty of time for all of this. He gives us plenty of time to worship him, to walk this walk as an overcomer. And if you are always saying, I haven't time, then something is very wrong. Because he gives that time. Your walk should be a supernatural walk, not like the world walks. Pitch our tents where we can have those quiet times with him, just like Abraham did. But maybe we're not pitching those tents as we should. In other words, we're not seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, because we're still too busy. We're still too anxious in this world. I still want to be in control, building my life, my reputation, my future, and so on. I'm so consumed and worried about my CV. Sounds familiar? That's the world's thinking, the world's way. You're not of this world, the Bible says, or you shouldn't be. Another world, another kingdom, the kingdom of God. Just sojourners passing through. We don't know, brothers and sisters, as I finish with this now, we don't know how long we have. We don't know when the Lord is coming for the bride. We should be living in an attitude and heart, is this the day he's going to come? Is this the last day my life is going to be on this earth? You can't muster that up, but the Holy Spirit works that in our lives and hearts, because we don't know. We've got to become much more upward looking and outward looking and not consumed with ourselves, our hang-ups, our problems. Why isn't this happening in my life? Or whatever it would be, we need to grow up. Do you believe God knows what he is doing? That is the question. Because that should be our experience. Of course it doesn't make sense. What is new? We don't know what we're going to be doing next. I don't know what is happening this evening. I don't know what's happening next week. All I know is that we walk with God, and that's all that matters. All God wants to hear in the morning, Lord, I walk with you this day. Wherever you are, there am I. Wherever your feet go, my feet go too. And that's all it is. Don't complicate it. Don't make it so theological. The trouble is, it is that simple. That's why so often we miss it. But God loves us. He doesn't give up on us. He's working with us. He's unraveling all these complications in our lives and through our circumstances, and praise him even when we go out of the will of God and we make a mess of it, yet he's still there to bring us back into that simple, childlike faith and walk, which is the means of us becoming sons.
Disaster, let him in constancy.